What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care, so sit back, relax, and defocus.
This podcast is in collaboration with Optometry Times.
Hello, and welcome to the Defocus Media Podcast. We are talking about a subject that is really near and dear to my heart. You guys know that I recently had my first child. I have a little girl at home, and I have not yet gone back to work, but thinking about what going back to work is going to be like has really been weighing on my mind. And I know that a ton of new moms or expecting moms or people that are considering motherhood out there are having these same lines of thought that they're trying to figure out how do they balance both their career and their drive to become, you know, start a family. And we have two expert guests with us that are going through it and have been through it themselves. Please welcome to the show Dr. Gabby Oliveras and Dr. Aryan Firtash.
Hi, everybody. Thanks, Jen, for the introduction.
Thank you.
Hi. Well, I mean, neither of you guys need much of an introduction because you're such big social media ambassadors for Optometry, but I'd love to kind of break things down and let people know a little bit more about your lives as moms and optometrists. So, Dr. Oliveras, if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, sure. So I have a four-month-old, Carlton Burns Watson IV, actually, named after my husband. And I practice in South Florida in a private group practice with five other optometrists. We see a range of different types of, you know, from ocular disease to just, you know, contact lenses and refractive issues. But I've been there for about 4 years, and I have recently started back full time after giving birth. So it's been, you know, an adjustment, but it's been good. It's kind of nice to get that work life back in to kind of balance my at home mom life.
Dr. Firtash, tell us a little bit about your motherhood story.
I had Isabella almost a year ago. And at the time, while I was pregnant, I was working 3 days a week in San Francisco. And then I worked up until about 8 months where I had early contractions and decided to take my maternity leave early. And I actually came down to Southern California to have her, and I never went back. So I do not work in clinic as of now, but I do work on my glam optometrist, the social media aspect of helping other accounts. And then I launched Glam Baby, which is the line of children's sunglasses. So I work on those while I'm at home with the baby and not really in clinic at the time. But that is my mom life as of today.
Everybody's so different on this as far as like what's the right amount to go back. And the great thing about this career is there are so many options, whether you're going back seeing actual patients or following some more entrepreneurial paths in optometry, like Dr. Firtash is doing. You know, there's something that you can do as an optometrist, however many days you want to put into it. But I think many people struggle with knowing what that right balance is for them. I mean, did that decision on what to do after the child came weigh on you, or did you feel like you had a pretty good idea of what you wanted to do even before you had children?
Yeah. So for me, after a week of having the baby at home, I looked at my husband and I was like, all right, I'm ready to go back to work. I have to tell you, being a mom is a lot harder than being an optometrist. And I was very lucky because the people that I work with, they were very flexible with me. So I did only go back initially starting 3 days a week for the first month. So it was kind of nice. I was able to have that extra time with the baby, but yet still have, you know, that work life that I really missed. And we have a live-in nanny. So, you know, she was a really big help. And she was actually the nanny that brought up my brother and I. So she's almost like family.
Wow.
Yeah, she's almost like family. So we really trust her. And I know he's in good hands. But yeah, I initially started back 3 days a week. And that's just because that was the agreement that I had with you know, the other doctors that I work with.
Dr. Firtash, did you intend to not go back at this point in your career? Or were you thinking like, oh, yeah, I'll go back, and then found you really preferred staying at home?
So I was planning on going back. However, again, my living situation kind of changed rapidly. And I also ended up having an emergency C-section. Mm. So that also changed when I was planning on going back. And with the launch of Glam Baby, I kind of had to put more energy into that than actually trying to figure out my living situation. And, you know, you have all these hormones going on, and I just had to pick one direction at the time. So I picked that. But I have found a little bit of balance. I go about once a month or every 2 weeks to fill in. My mom works at a practice, and they love having me there, and I love being there. And that way I'm not losing touch of patient care. But I found myself touching more lives doing what I'm doing now. But never say never doesn't mean I'm not going to go back to patient care. It was just being home with Isabella really inspired me to reach out to other moms, and be able to touch their lives with teaching them about, UV protection and preventative care. That's how I was inspired to stay home more, and not go back to work, you know, full time. But, you know, we kind of talked about this. I definitely took a financial hit. I'm not having that lavish lifestyle that I once did, but I wouldn't change it for the world. I love being with my daughter and having those milestones. My mom, I don't know if you guys know, is an optometrist, and she worked well. I was a child, and I saw that, and you know what? I commend her. I think she's also powerful. She would take me to work, you know, if I was sick, or so I saw that, and I know that it's possible. And again, never say never. I could go back tomorrow if I wanted to. And it's just the flexibility of our chosen career paths and what, decisions we make based on where we are in life.
You talked about there's definitely a financial adjustment when you lose that income that you've been providing for. What kind of planning do you guys recommend if someone's considering starting a family in the next year?
Start saving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, if you're a 1099, you do not get any kind of disability or any kind of time off, paid time off, which sucks. I think that's terrible that that's the way our system is set up. I got nothing when I took time off for maternity leave, even though I lived in San Francisco at the time too, because they have a lot more beneficial laws for parenting. Not only that, we don't get any kind of compensation for childcare, which sucks. It's expensive. Gabby, you know, you have a live-in, or full-time, excuse me, nanny. So yeah, you have to save, you have to plan. And like, what is your planning? What if something happens? You have like an emergency C-section. How can you plan for that? Do you start saving like 3 months salary or 6 months salary? How does that work? And you and your partner have to decide that.
Right. Like for me, I knew I was, I'm not a 1099. I'm a W-2. So my practice, because it is a small business owned practice, it's not a big corporation. They don't actually provide me with anything. Obviously, you know, they allowed me to take as much time off as I wanted, but the more time off that I took, that was, you know, money that wasn't earned. So I actually did take short-term disability through AFLAC, which you have to prepare for because you cannot give birth within the first 10 months of having that insurance. So I started that insurance in like May, and I got pregnant in July. And I went to about 37 weeks before I gave birth because I also had an emergency C-section. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, you know, I did get some money while I was out. But I mean, I know that we had talked about that sometimes it's about 2/3 of your regular salary. I mean, mine wasn't even like 1/4 of my salary. So I don't know what dictates that, but it was a very, very small portion of money that I got. But I mean, some is better than none. And with the insurance, I was paying about $150 per month to have that insurance, that disability insurance.
So short-term disability, that's a policy that you have to look at really carefully. I looked into it before we got pregnant as well. And like you said, you can't like, oh, I'm pregnant now, I'm going to get short-term disability, because you would not have the coverage within that period of time. So you really have to plan for it in advance. And for me, actually, it was so expensive to do a short-term disability plan that I would have lost money if I had had a natural birth and would only have like benefited from it financially if I had done a C-section. Like that's how close it comes for some of the plans. So look at the plan really closely and calculate it out. Typically with short-term disability, if you give it a natural birth, it'll cover 6 weeks of what a percentage of your pay, and depending on the plan, maybe up to 2/3 of your pay. With a C-section, it's up to 8 weeks. So mine came out just like so financially close that it actually only paid for itself if I took 7 weeks or more. And if I'd had natural birth, which I ended up having, I basically would have paid more than I would have gotten out of the plan. So look at it closely.
Definitely not fair for us women. Not only that, what if we were all single moms?
Right.
How could we have afford to take time off work?
No.
If someone wasn't helping us and helping financially our babies, there's definitely a discrepancy in our country. It's not a political discussion, I know, but
yeah.
It's just what are us moms supposed to do? I didn't know about the short-term disability, so I'm glad you guys put it out there. I do have regular disability insurance, and on there it states it does not cover pregnancy or birth.
Let's talk about FMLA, because that's something that for many workers in the field, that's something that they'd be eligible for. But many of us as optometrists do not qualify for FMLA or Family and Medical Leave Act, because that coverage only legally kicks in if your employer has 50 or more employees. And small businesses, they don't tend to have that many employees.
Nope. It doesn't apply for 1099.
No, it doesn't apply to 1099. Yeah, and we have 30 employees. So I did not make the cut, but supposedly they give you 12 weeks of unpaid leave, right?
Right. So what all FMLA is, which at my company, we were large enough to qualify, it's you get up to 3 months or 12 work weeks unpaid. And your employer does have to maintain your health benefits during that time, but that's all they're financially obligated to do. What is kind of interesting on FMLA and that often gets overlooked, though, is in addition to having a kid, like if you adopt a child, it would also kick in. And it's for both mothers and fathers, which I don't think gets talked about a whole lot. But a father can also, to have that bonding child with the newborn, submit for an FMLA, of course, unpaid leave.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. I know my husband, he took time off. He took 6 weeks off to be with me and the baby. But again, he didn't qualify for the FMLA. So it was unpaid. And it's just nice to have dad around if that's possible. So that's cool that FMLA allows that.
Yeah. Or if your parents are around. I mean, my mom was a huge help during that time. My husband was actually still working because he owns his own business. So it was really important for him to be back at work. But my mom was around who helped tremendously.
Yes, family is huge. I lived with my mom for the first 6 months. So
awesome.
Yeah, so if you can, I always tell new moms, don't hesitate to ask for help. Like people are there for you.
Let's talk a little bit then about preparing for, you know, of course, life with a newborn at home when they're new, but then also like going back, because you guys have done things a little bit differently. I mean, I already said your mom lived with you for 6 months. Gabby, you've got a full-time nanny. I'm going to be starting daycare here in the next month, which is like a very hard transition for me. But there's a lot of options, and all of them have their pros and cons. How did you decide, Gabby, nanny versus daycare?
So for us, my brother was very sick going to daycare, and the pediatrician eventually told my mom, listen, you either have to stop working or you have to get a live-in nanny because your son is getting very sick at a daycare being around other children. So that's when my parents hired Angelica, and she's from Chile. She speaks Spanish only, which is great for our child because my husband does not speak Spanish. So hopefully the baby will be bilingual. And it felt like an easy choice because, you know, I get to have him at my house. I get to watch him through my cameras, and I'm just comforted by the fact that I know he's okay. And he's with someone who knows how to take care of children and gives him all the attention that he needs.
Like you said, your nanny at this point is almost like a family member since she's been in your life for so long.
Yes. She's great.
With having your mom helping with childcare, was there any unforeseen challenges that you weren't prepared for? Or?
So everyone's always got an opinion. I'll give you an example. I didn't want Isabella to have a pacifier. And they're like, what do you mean you don't want her to have a pacifier? She's crying. Like, it soothes them. And so we had this debate. Ultimately, the pacifier is a godsend, and we ended up giving it to her. But like little things like that, they are more experienced, but you are the mom and you always want to like do things your way. And I'm very stubborn. I'm a Taurus. So I didn't always want to give in to what they were saying, but it did really help a lot of what they said. But I did everything like sleep wise. I didn't want anybody to have to disturb their sleep. My husband and I would take turns doing that. But having my mom and dad and my grandma here to help me tremendously. I was working, on my glam baby for Vision Expo all at the same time that I gave birth. So I would go into the room for a couple hours a day while Isabella was with my family. And then my husband's family also helped a lot too. They live an hour away. So it's really nice. If I know some people just don't have that. Jen, I think, you were telling me that you don't necessarily live close to your parents. Mm-hmm. And that's hard. You have to think of things to do. And Gabby, like you said, you have the comfort of your own home and you can watch your baby on the camera. Daycare, I have a lot of our cousins, they put their children in daycare and they are sick all the time. It's scary because they're young. But you have no choice. That's what you have to do for your life. And there is no right or wrong. It's what is comfortable for you and your family. But I think pre-planning really does help. Having a plan like, okay, this is what we're going to do. And if you change your plan, that's okay. But at least you have something to guide yourself to, that this is what's going to happen after my 4 weeks or after my couple weeks off.
And I'll say, I did not realize this. There's so much about motherhood that you're not prepared for. But if daycare is the direction that you'll have to go with your situation, you have to apply to be accepted at daycare. Sometimes they're month-long waiting lists. So I had to put in that I wanted to be at daycare before I gave birth, before I even had a child coming. And it's like $150 or so, depending on your area, to apply. And if you don't have a slot, it's not like that gets refunded or returned to you. So some people end up applying multiple places just to guarantee they'll have a spot for when they want to go back. So planning is important. You can't just like go get childcare the week before you return to work.
Yes. And that's very true. I live in LA, so it's very competitive for childcare. People have to apply even before they're pregnant. I kid you not. And they get interviewed. The parents get interviewed and they have to apply to many places. It's crazy. It's just insane.
Wow. Well, let's talk a little bit about, okay, going back to work, because if you're nursing, this is a whole new avenue that you have to deal with. And this is actually something that has been worrying me a little bit because, okay, we can put blocks into our schedule. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But even when I was pregnant, like I'd put like one less patient in the morning, one less patient in the afternoon, just because I wasn't moving quite as fast when I was that huge and I had to use the bathroom more and stuff. But it didn't mean I was like running ahead of schedule or on time even. Like it was just survival mode. So in my head, I'm like, okay, but I still have to make time to nurse. I'm sure I'm just going to be running behind and that block will be gone. But there are some legal requirements on this for breastfeeding at work. So the Affordable Care Act in 2010 requires that employers must allow women to pump breast milk while they are at work. And if, basically you're having to give, quote unquote, a reasonable break time to pump milk each time that you're needed during the day. Typically that's going to be every few hours. So they have to provide a private space, not a bathroom, where you would not be bothered by coworkers or customers, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a dedicated lactation only room, like a doctor's office, for example, if it's a private place. And they do not have to pay you during that breast pumping time if you're an hourly kind of salary. But, many of us, if you are W-2, you're getting a salary for the month. So anytime you're at work, you're getting paid, I guess. But again, this only goes into play if your employer has 50 or more employees. So smaller businesses kind of can choose to comply with that rule or not.
Yeah, I think too, though, if the company that you're working for allows you to take breaks every so often, like we give our employees, you know, a 15, 20 minute break in the morning and then also in the PM. I think for that, you're also allowed to take breaks to pump and get paid.
Right. Yes. Like if you have employees are able to take like a cigarette break, for example, then they're required to give you a break to pump as well.
Right. Right.
This is something that I'm actually very passionate about because I get a lot of moms, because I'm pretty open about I was pumping a lot and working at the time. So people would question, hey, like, what's it like or blah, blah, blah. So Isabella was solely on breast milk, but she never latched. So I was only pumping. And you can imagine how that could be when you're traveling. I think I was like 6 weeks postpartum during Vision Expo West.
Wow.
Jenny, you may remember my boobs were like just out of control, huge at the time.
I mean, you looked amazing. But,
thank you. Like I had to figure out how was I going to one, pump, two, how was I going to take the milk that I pumped back home with me?
Right.
And also like, where was I going to put this? Where was I going to go and pump? What pump was I going to take with me? So these were all things that I as a mom had to deal with in order to travel and be away from my baby, either it be at clinic or on a business trip. And I ended up using four different pumps and I had my favorites. So there's one without any wires. It's called the Willow. I don't know if you guys have heard about it. It's amazing as far as being portable. It hurt and like ruined my nipples, but you could take it on the plane and I would literally just stick it in my bra and walk around Vision Expo. And nobody knew I was pumping at the time. Which was, you know, that's so nice to be able to do. And then there are rules when you travel TSA about having breast milk. They have to like put their little sticks in it and measure it. And I don't know how you guys feel about having that kind of stuff around your baby's food. Ultimately, that is your baby's food. And a privacy issue. A lot of places don't have those places where you can go in and have a private area. And how do you approach your boss about that? How do you, you know, let the employees know, like, even if you have a question about a patient, don't come interrupt me. I'm busy doing something private. And some people would even bring a little refrigerator to work and put it by their desk. So once they're done pumping, they could kind of store it in the refrigerator and it was their own little private refrigerator that nobody else can touch. Gabby, I don't know if that's something that you guys are able to do at work is to bring like your
own. You know, they say that pumping a lot of times is very mental. Okay.
Oh my God. You go crazy.
Right. So they say, look at pictures of your baby or videos of your baby while you're pumping because it'll help you produce more. But of course I constantly hear my name being called over the intercom, Dr. Olivares, room 5. And then now I know I'm like way behind. Right. So here I am like trying to rush. So, you know, initially when I went back to work, I gave myself two 15-minute blocks, so a half an hour. But I was realizing that time was not enough because my pump break would somewhat be over and it never really even happened. So I now give myself 45 minutes and I normally have about 15, 20 minutes to just sit in a room and pump away. And just like you, I actually have three pumps, which I thought I was crazy, but you have four. So my dual pump, the electronic one, I really like to use at home. Because it's like quick and easy. I use a battery powered one at work that I also pump to and from work in the car.
Wow.
So that's yes, that's very easy. And then at night, like in the middle of the night, but I also do bring it to work, I have a hand pump. So the hand pump is kind of nice because it's very quick. For some reason, I think it's quicker than the electronic ones, but then you have to do, it's only one-sided. You got to do one and then you got to go over to the other side. So in the middle of the night, when I wake up and I pump, if he only feeds from one side, I
use the hand pump on the other side really quick. And it's normally very, very fast. So yeah, I have a lot of pumps. And, you know, after calculating the amount of time that we spend pumping, and Ari, I know you spend a lot more time because I am nursing him overnight when I get home. I spend about 3.5 hours every single day pumping. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It is very crazy. Also, if you don't spend a lot of time that your breasts need to empty, you get really engorged. Right. You get engorged. It gets uncomfortable. You start leaking. Can you imagine leaking in the exam room? So you I think ultimately you need more than 15 minutes to really let everything out. And because you have like the cycles, the up and down of the flow. And my favorite is the Symphony, by the way. That's the wall plug-in one. It really gets everything out. And the Willow, for like you sit in the car, is great. If you're going home or going to work, you can just kind of put them in and be able to pump and not have to do it so often. It's really a sacrifice us moms make for our babies if we are working and on the go and don't have the luxury of being with our babies full time. So I commend all those who try, and if you're not able to, that's okay too. It's very personal.
Yeah, definitely. And you never know how your milk is going to come in, when it's going to come in, if your baby, like you said, is going to latch. So all we can do is try our best, and we have to, you know, feed our baby however they can intake that food.
Exactly.
At the end of the day.
Fed is best. fed is best. Right. Just get the food in there.
Do you guys have any personal stories about, you know, patient experiences or experiences as new moms that you'd like to share with listeners?
I would say that 5 weeks postpartum, I did my first Nordstrom pop-up, and I was not going to give that up. Like I said, I had the emergency C-section, so I was in so much pain, and like you're learning, you know, how to be with the baby. You're not sleeping much. You're pumping or breastfeeding. That was a challenge for me, but I brought my baby that weekend to Nordstrom. I pumped in their bathroom like every few hours. Was able to do that. You're like sweating profusely when you just had a baby. I don't know if that was how you guys were, but your hormones are kind of just out of control. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, like, I made it work. My husband was there to help me, but it was me. It had to be me. I had to be there, and I did it. I don't know how I did it, but you could always do it as a mom. There's always, you're going to get that rush of like, let's go, let's do this. And another was the Vision Expo, which was about six or seven weeks postpartum, was going there. And I literally had to like excuse myself to go pump all the time. I had to carry around the milk with me. Oh man, one time the milk just spilled everywhere and I cried. I just sat in my hotel room and cried because it really is liquid gold. As far as being with patients, if you're out of practice for a long time, they see you after your maternity leave, they get so excited. They want to hear about your baby and about your journey. That's wonderful because you're making that connection with your patients. I've also noticed that I'm more connected to my mother patients. I'm able to talk to them on a different level, I think. Mm-hmm. Even the dads, even, you know, just parents in general, it puts you in a different category on an emotional. And also you can talk to them about development of their child's eyes. Jen, I think I saw that you posted something about children's eye development. Yeah. So these are things that, you know, you become passionate about and you start talking about more and inspiring patients and educating them more. That's been my experience.
You know, I personally think that not sleeping has been the hardest part for me. Because not only are you not sleeping well through the night, but then you also have to go into clinic and be focused and be able to diagnose your patients correctly and not, you know, let them realize that you're exhausted. But I think that a lot of the patients, they do realize that, you know, you just had a child. So if you're running a little bit behind, they seem to understand. But it's really hard being a mom and also working. It's really tough. And I think that, you know, like Ari was saying, we make it work, you know, we do what we have to do. And in the end, it works out. And it's totally worth it. Even though I'm barely sleeping, you know, I love him to death. And I wouldn't have it any other way. But you know, like, it's really important to just be easy on yourself. It's a really big transition. Your hormones are still running high. You know, you just got to take it easy one step at a time, and you'll eventually find out that schedule and that routine that works for you. And for me also, I mean, I know Ari cried about spilt milk. I've cried about spilt milk as well, but also bring extra pumping parts to work, because I've gotten very upset where, you know, someone will break a piece of my pumping part and then I won't be able to pump for the rest of the day. That happened once actually with a cleaning lady who was at our house, and she broke a pumping part, and I freaked out and called my mom, and she went to Target that night and she got me the part and brought it over to my house. And
yes, that happens.
So make sure you keep extra parts around. And, you know, also, you know, depending on whatever childcare, you know, you decide to go with, you know, I heard that a lot of daycares will send you pictures and videos of your child and things that they've done throughout the day. I think that asking your childcare provider daily for like photos and videos really helps and makes that transition a lot better.
I wanted to say one, a breastfeeding bra where you can wear it and put your pumps through it really helps you, because, and I didn't figure that out. I didn't even know it existed for a few weeks initially, but it helps so you can be hands-free and maybe even be on your phone or on the computer or do something while you're pumping out work. And the other thing is, we didn't really talk about was, but Gabby, you just is being away from your baby for the first time. That can be very emotional and very hard for some mothers when they do go back to work. Everyone has their own ways of dealing with it. I know pictures really helped, our FaceTime. We're lucky enough to live in an age where we can FaceTime our children live. That's a big help. Maybe at lunchtime you can do that with your daycare or your nanny or your mom. However, that's nice too.
Well, thank you guys so much for your time today. If you wouldn't mind sharing your social media handles so people can follow along with your journey and reach out if they have any questions or want some more advice.
So mine's Living in 2020.
And mine is Glam Optometrist, or Official Glam Baby.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast. And remember, we keep it 2020 around here. Pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.